My name is Craig Scanlon. I am 29 years old. Today is Saturday, November 28th, 2015. I'm speaking with Bob Wachter, who is my wife, Krista Coote's grandfather, and Krista's here with us today as well. And we are recording this interview in Kansas City, Missouri.
Good. Do you know the story of why or how our ancestors came to this country?
Vaguely.
Yeah.
I know my grandparents came from some parts of Germany, and I don't know which ones. Bill, as I said, Bill Sampson did most of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have that information
direct.
Really didn't bother me. I didn't care to know it, to be honest with you.
And someone else was taking care of it.
They're here. They made it. And I assume they came as immigrants back before 1900s, back in the 1980s someplace.
Yeah.
Did they come through Ellis Island?
Yeah, I think they did. I understood they came through there.
Mm-hmm. And what are the last names in your family? It's Wachter, and what are some of the last names?
Oh, let's see, Colin. Mm-hmm. My mother's name was Colin.
Mm-hmm.
My parents' name was changed when they came over. It was W-A-E-C-H-T-E-R. It was pronounced Wachter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want me to go on with that?
Sure.
Okay, well, my aunt and uncle were priests and nuns at a convent.
Mm-hmm.
And when they entered the convent, they kept their original name, W-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
When my grandmother, I think, sometime before the 1900s, changed the name, dropped the E, because that was a German dialect of W-A-E.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some people in the United States still carry that name.
Okay, cool. What were your grandparents' names, and do you have any memories of spending time with your grandparents?
I only knew two grandparents. My mother's name, of course, was Sophia of Conan, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother on my dad's side, she was still, she used the name of Wachter, W-A-C-H, not a W-A-E.
Did you get to know them when you were growing
up?
Yeah,
I knew both of them. I was, six, seven, eight, nine, something like that, when my parents up in St. Joe, my grandparent on my dad's side died.
Mm-hmm.
And she lived up there. Her husband died a number of years ago before I was born, I think. And my grandmother in Kansas, this little town called Pickaway, Kansas. She lived, I have that date someplace, but it was in the 19. We were married, I know, and so it would be 19. Oh, I would think maybe about 60, 1960, something like that. And then my dad's brother and sister both died. Born in 1957, her sister did, and then the priest died in 1934 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember or cherish most about your mom and dad?
Oh, their German ancestry.
Mm-hmm.
And back when I was a little kid, you know, they used to always, groups hang together. The German people would all get together, and they'd kind of have their own little gathering. And then they used to take the Irish and the Polish. Mm-hmm. They always kind of, up in St. Joe, they were kind of not segregated, but they were kind of hung around.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of died out in about time I got into high school, about 1940, something like that. That kind of died out. And then they didn't do that anymore, but they used to have barn dances, you know, stuff like that. And
it, all with your community.
Yeah, be with that, say, a German community. And they spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know, we had a big hayloft to explain that, or it was a large hayloft. And we moved the hay all to one end of the thing. But The barn was about 48 feet long.
Mm-hmm. Was this your barn?
Yeah. And they would move the hay to one end, and then they'd get a guy that my dad used to call, dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Western dancing.
Okay.
I can't remember that name he used.
Foursquare?
Huh?
Like, were they line dancers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, I'm trying to think of the name. It comes with age, I guess.
Yeah.
And
is it when you stand in like a
well,
square?
No, they dance and twirl around.
Okay.
What do they call
square dancing?
Square dancing.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. My dad used to call it.
Did you square dance when you were?
No, I tried, but I was too little.
Oh, okay. So this was like your older siblings that did that more?
This is back when I was maybe 10
mm-hmm.
at the most. I might have been a little older than that. I don't know.
Was there one of you? You have 5 older siblings, right?
Yes.
So you're number 6.
Yeah, I'm a 6.
So which of your older siblings did you get along with the best?
I got along pretty good, but I didn't see much of them after I went into service.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my oldest sister,
mm-hmm.
the one who lived up in Minnesota, was probably closer to me because I went to, they had a resort down in the Ozarks,
mm-hmm.
her and her husband. And that's right. There's a picture up here somewhere.
Oh, yeah?
There. Where is it?
Oh, yeah.
No, there's a picture up here of the Ozarks. Of it. I can't see behind me.
We'll look at it afterwards.
Okay. Well, anyway, they had, and it was, I think I was in the 8th grade
mm-hmm.
when I went down there, and I worked there all summer.
You worked at the Ozark?
The resort.
Oh, okay.
They had a fishing resort. You know,
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about a teacher or any other adult that had a big impact on your life when you were growing up.
Sister Olga, that's all I remember. They didn't have a family name back when I was in school. They
mm-hmm.
Sister Olga and Sister Perpetua.
Mm-hmm.
They were one. Perpetua was my 5th and 6th grade teacher,
mm-hmm.
and Olga was my 7th and 8th grade teacher.
Mm-hmm.
They were very stern. They're precious blood. I remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah,
they were good teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Very strict.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely strict.
But you liked that? Did you?
Well,
need it?
I think so. It didn't hurt me. Let's
yeah.
put it that way.
Yeah.
And I think it probably helped me a little bit to recognize authority
mm-hmm.
when I went in the military.
Yeah.
And then that got pretty strict, too. So
you learned to respect authority from Sister Agra and Sister
Olga. O-L-G-A.
Olga.
In fact, I think your mother has a...
A doll
called Olga.
As I remember the story, she got the doll and then you named it Olga.
Probably.
And she didn't know that it was Olga. She thought you were saying Olga, so she grew up thinking this dog's name was Olga.
Olga.
That's so funny. I just think it's cool that you learned authority from the sisters, like even
before you entered
the military.
Well, you know, I can remember if you got in trouble at school, you got in trouble at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I left school one day. I played hooky, and I caught all kinds of heck.
How old were you?
Both places.
How old were you when you did that?
I think I was in the 7th grade, maybe.
How did the word get home? Like, if you...
She called.
Oh, okay.
Mother, sister called. I left school. The word got home before I got home.
Okay. So you got in trouble from mom and from
mom
sister.
And dad and Sister Olga.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in, the doghouse for about a week in school.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
So you had some sisters. You had coaches because you were an athlete growing up, too, right? So were there any coaches that stand out as?
Yeah, there was one that, fella by the name of Shelton. Well, my last coach I had was a guy named Mike Farmer. Coached me in my last years of high school where I played more basketball and football. But the first coach I had was a guy by the name of Everett Shelton. He was a half Indian, American Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And he went on to coach Wyoming to the national championship.
Wow.
And
he was your coach before that?
He was my coach when I was a freshman in
mm-hmm.
high school.
Mm-hmm.
At St. Joe's?
Yeah, St. Joe's.
That's really
cool. At Christian Brothers in St. Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you have any good coaches at Mizzou when you were playing baseball?
Oh, yeah. Hi Simmons, a baseball coach, and Don Farrell was a football coach. I didn't have much association with him because I thought one year I was going to – he wanted me to come out and punt. I could punt the ball pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked Sparky Stalker, my basketball coach, who I had my scholarship with the basketball. I said, hey, Farrell wants me to come and punt for him. He said, hey, remember, you're here on a basketball scholarship, not a football scholarship. So that guy told me you better go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
And I wished I would have gone ahead because then I could have gotten three letters.
Mm.
You know, letterman in three sports.
Yeah.
So be it.
Yeah.
You and then you went into kind of sports for your career. So you worked
yeah,
for
basically.
The
yeah, so, after I got out of college, I went directly with the Kansas City Blues, which
mm-hmm.
is a Yankee chain
mm-hmm.
farm system here
mm-hmm.
in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And I was a what they call a public relations traveling secretary.
Mm-hmm.
That means I travel with the ball club,
mm-hmm.
and I try to handle most of the association with the press, although our general manager was a former news press
mm-hmm.
sports editor
mm-hmm.
for the Kansas City Journal, which is an old,
mm-hmm.
it's long gone,
mm-hmm.
it's no longer.
And how did you land at the Chiefs? Like, how did you make it
well,
to Arrowhead Stadium?
Well, after I was in baseball from, 1950 to... After I graduated to 50, oh, I guess it was close to 60, I left the baseball organization,
mm-hmm.
and I went, a friend of mine who went from the Yankee chain went became the general manager of the Washington Senators, which is no longer, it's a forerunner to the Minnesota Twins,
mm-hmm.
and he hired me as a scout for the Midwest area. It was Kansas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for, I guess, almost 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went with the Chiefs in 1961, two,
mm-hmm.
someplace. Now I can't remember that even.
Were you one of the first employees of
I
the Chiefs?
I was the first employees by the Chiefs.
Wow.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
In Kansas City. No, they had a... They had a bookkeeper or accountant in Dallas that came with them, but he was on the organization. But when they officially transferred from Dallas to Kansas City, then Jack Stedman, I was the first one hired. I was hired as the ticket manager, stadium director.
Mm-hmm.
And you were there for how long?
About 30 years.
30 years, yeah.
That was been in about 1960. I guess I was about 62.
Mm-hmm.
And then I retired in 1990.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
What was your most memorable moment from that time working there?
Where? What?
At the stadium, what was your most memorable moment? Because I know you met Michael Jackson, right?
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I can't... There was none that was really stood out as exceptional. There was a lot of junk stuff, as I would say. You know, like... water main breaks and stuff like that, and rainstorms and things like that. Other than the normal procedures of handling the operation, it was a day-to-day procedure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
It was regimented. You know, you do the start Monday, or the day starts this way, and it ends this way.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't anything that really stood out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that stood out nice. Well, there's a lot of I can remember, but it's not exciting. Let's put
what about the Super Bowl? That was pretty exciting.
Well, yeah. But, you know, it was just another football game. I mean, everybody, it became quite a thing here in town. But we went, after we won our game in Buffalo, then that we qualified for the first Super Bowl.
And what year was that Kansas City won?
Oh, heck, it was 69.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was 69. It's up around that someplace.
Yeah. That's great. Well, what are... I'm going to click this. Can you tell us about some of the most important life lessons you've learned?
Oh... I wouldn't say all of them are important. They all become important with you. Of course, when I got married, it was quite not a shock to me, but it was a change of scenery. Let's put it that way. I had a wife, and we had the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we become a lot more responsible,
mm-hmm.
and we dealt with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
making sure that we could take care of them. They got their education, things
mm-hmm.
like that.
So be responsible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Betty, my wife, she did probably most of the home doing because I was working and she stayed at home with the kids, with the three.
Mm-hmm.
And she, it was, I know it was difficult on her because I was traveling quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so we had to create a relationship would last,
mm-hmm.
and it was something important to both of us.
Mm-hmm. And it did last.
Well, I made it. I beat her.
Yeah.
But anyway, I think that's the most important thing, was that I was able to stay with her until she died.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I saw her every day for
mm-hmm.
Maybe 2 or 3 hours. About 3 to about 7, something like that,
mm-hmm.
While she was at this nursing home. She was up there for almost 5 years.
Yeah, you were there almost
every day.
Single day for 5 years.
Well, I missed it when I went to your graduation. And I think I missed it a couple other times.
At my wedding. Those
yeah.
were like, I think those
yeah.
were some of the only days.
And your graduation, I missed 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But I flew in, and then you flew back.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a home that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
They took care of them. And,
mm-hmm.
I mean, they weren't great. None of them are great. Let's put it that way. Way I look at it. You know, I don't want to go into one. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
They served a purpose, and they took care of her. They did things for her that I know she would be embarrassed that they had to do for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
But how did you and Grandma meet? I don't think Craig's ever heard the story.
Well, we were living in an apartment house called Twin Oaks out on the plaza. I was living there, she was living. And
so you were living in the same apartment building?
Yeah, it was a big 7-story, several hundred apartments, you know, big apartments, you know. Most of them were 1.5 rooms, you know. But anyway. I was doing my laundry. They had a big laundry area downstairs you could go down. And I don't know. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but either she needed soap or I needed soap or something. And so I met her. And so what? You know, we just went on. I did my laundry and I went home. And she went home. Saw her another day, a couple of days later, and I said, "You want to go out?" So that's how we met.
Okay.
And we... Let's see, I guess we dated from about 19, that should have been about 1952, 53,
mm-hmm.
and we married in 54.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get married?
At St. James over in Kansas City, Kansas.
Mm-hmm. Did you go on a honeymoon?
Yeah, I went to the Grand Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
And we stayed.
First of many trips to the Grand Canyon.
Yeah. we had several there. The kids... Kind of enjoyed it. But anyway, we went out, and just to give you some kind of relationship, we stayed in what they call Bright Angel's Lodge. And today it's the lodge. You know, and it was nice then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very nice, but there
yeah.
wasn't any people.
Yeah.
And the economy was such that it was cheap.
Yeah.
It was, you know, 2 or 3 years after the war was over. And, but anyway, we stayed in the Bright Angel Lodge to have kind of a studio kind of stuff, overlooking the canyon. We'd sit in our front room and have our beverages and overlook the canyon. And I think, if I remember right, it cost us $25 a night.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. For everyone?
Now it's over $1,000.
Whoa!
Wow.
Go ahead, sorry.
And we walked down the canyon. We didn't ride. I rode with my brother, and I went out there before we were married, and we rode down. And the price of that then was, I think it was $15, and $10 to stay in the hotel or the lodge down at the bottom of the canyon. And today, I think it's, first of all, you can't get a reservation. You got to get in a year in advance, and I think the trip now is over 500. Just wow. down and back. That yeah. doesn't include staying down at
the lodge.
The lodge.
Yeah. But Craig's never been to the Grand Canyon.
It's, interesting to see. Mm-hmm. There's a couple spots out there that, if you drive.
Yeah.
You want to stop and see before you get to the canyon.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Did we go to the Grand Canyon together? Were you there with my family?
No. I think Gretchen.
Right.
You went out. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Somebody else was with them. Was it just you?
It was Nick. Nick and Ben and Yvonne.
Yeah, that's right.
And you got Grandma hiking boots for...
Yeah, I got hiking boots. She never wore boots in her life. And so, and, you know, in those days, when you went to dinner, you had high heels.
Yeah.
You know, dress, and she always had... She had nice clothes.
Yeah, she looked nice.
And so we decided to walk down the canyon, just down to what they call, I can't remember, it's about a halfway place.
Yeah.
Before you get to the bottom of the canyon. So I said, let's walk down there and walk up. That won't be too much. I didn't think.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, her not having walked in the hills and plowed ground and stuff like that, her legs. But anyway, she came up. We took a shower, got ready to go, you know, and she says her legs kind of, her back, her legs, her Achilles tendon kind of hurt. So she put her high heels on and couldn't stand.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So then she had to wear flats. And back in those days, flats were you wore around the house.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You didn't wear out the public. And you know, she had nice looking ones, you know, they were some kind of skin casual stuff. But she was a little ticked off about it. But she, it took her until we got home that her legs kind of loosened up and got back into shape.
Uh-huh. So did she wear the hiking boots in the Grand Canyon when you
yeah,
went with
she,
it?
Yeah, she wore those, and that's what I think probably what ignited her Achilles tendon.
She mm-hmm. wasn't used to it.
And anyway, you know, putting the high heel on was a no-no.
Yeah.
But anyway, we were going to dinner, too. They had a kind of a nice dining room there on the canyon, and you know, we had reservations. And so she was still talking about it when I actually got there. Well, I didn't know it, you know. I said,
did it chap
live
or
and
butt?
Learn.
You live and learn, right? Did it chap or butt?
Yeah.
So you had three kids.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite experiences or memories of growing of the three kids growing up?
Well, I remember Greg. He played a saxophone, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. He played in a band. They had a band. And that was pretty neat.
Mm-hmm.
And then Gretchen, she became a cheerleader. Well, not cheerleader, pep squad or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And she was active.
Yeah.
And your mother was very inactive. And she was very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was cut and dried. But she was... She learned faster than the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little a map of the United States. I think I still got it. And she was about maybe 4 or 5 years old. She could work it.
Yeah.
And she'd always remember that the littlest one was Rhode Island. It was
the
littlest state, you know. And I'd always have to tempt her, and I said, well, where's the littlest one? And she'd find the littlest one. And she could put that map together.
Wow. When she was little.
Let's see, we moved in here when she was a little over a year, not quite a year old.
This is your 16th?
We moved in here in 1955 in September, or November, so she was
years ago.
Yeah, she was a year plus.
Mm-hmm.
She was a year and 2 months, I guess. We moved in here in November of 1955,
mm-hmm.
so it was 60 years ago this month.
Mm-hmm.
It was before Thanksgiving, let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the dates.
Mm-hmm.
But she was always working with that. And then we had a Christmas tree, and she was sleeping in one of those rooms. That's when Gretchen was in the baby bed, and she was up here, and we're Greg for Matt sleeping out.
Mm-hmm.
And we bought them some paper made up, you know, stoves and stuff like that,
for
housekeeping. And she was looking at And she never got up in the night her whole life. But she got up in the night and had to go to the bathroom. So she walked across and she looked this way and went on to the bathroom. Then she came back and looked again to see what was under the tree.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
She saw all this stuff under the tree, and I'm sure she didn't do much sleeping. But she went back to bed.
Did she see you, or was it just
Well, we were sitting there with, I think, Betty's brother-in-law or somebody.
Okay.
I can't remember who was all there.
Okay.
But she'd see her eyes open wide. She saw something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of set off the stage.
Yeah. So that was in this house that happened.
It was in this house, yeah. Mm-hmm. She was, I would think she was about maybe 3 or 4 years old,
mm-hmm.
maybe 5 at tops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you went on some nice trips as well, you and the kids. You like to travel.
Yeah.
What were some of your favorite
When we had the kids, we always, I took them to, of course, Colorado, and we went to the White Sands in New Mexico and places like that.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And they enjoy that because your mother would sit and feed the chips. You know, they're very friendly. Out there. You get a peanut, and they'll almost sit in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out taking care of them. Then we went up to Wyoming, Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
And I can always remember her. They had a big horse. I mean, he was a monster, one of those draft horses, or you call them.
Mm-hmm.
This was the big horse.
Right.
And he was out there and eating, and she'd go out there and pull some fresh grass out of the around the cabin, go out there and feed him. This great big thing, and she came to about top of her. She was standing under him, and I said, I hope he doesn't get mad at her. But anyway, she would feed him. She enjoyed that. I mean, she had fun. She wanted to do it all the time.
Yeah. Did my mom ever get in trouble growing up?
I don't know. Not with me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure I socked him a couple of times, but I don't know why. But I can remember that they were in bed, and it was Saturday, and your mother was sleeping, and they were still in bed, and I said, come on, get out of here. And they were slow getting them, so that made me a little ticked off. So
kind of like yesterday when we cleaned your house yesterday morning.
Yeah,
that's funny. Yeah, that's good. And now you have 4 grandkids.
Yep.
What are some of your favorite memories of being a grandfather?
I think the births are important.
Mm-hmm.
The achievements are the big thing. Like you're a doctor. You got that far. Matt has got a good education. He's gone. Tori is going to get it. She's getting her accounting, and she's very eager about it.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle wasn't a real good student, but he's got him a girlfriend, and he's getting his education, so they all come on pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent more time really with Gretchen's kids, I think we did, because they were always traveling, and they had to have a babysitter, and they didn't have anything out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Although we went to St. Louis several times for you, but not as, I don't think as many as I did for Gretchen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I always remember her I'd say, we'd take off, let's take off tomorrow morning, and take our time, we'll stop and see some stuff on the way.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, we get a call on Friday night and says, need you here tomorrow. So we had to get in the car and really run it 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
800 a mile, 800 a day.
Well, that's really amazing that you being in Kansas City and them being in Arizona, you were able to see them as much as you did.
Well, that's right. That's right. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you being, your family being in St. Louis, you came over here more, basically, than I went that way.
Mm-hmm.
Probably about equal amount.
Mm-hmm.
But, we spent, that's basically what I thought was.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when Mike...
No, the achievements of the girls, no narcotics. Greg had a problem with diabetes, and that's what got him. But, that's the way of life. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky, I think, that he passed away when your mother didn't know it. Or his mother didn't know it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was out of it, so she didn't know what was happening. Like, mm-hmm. Well, you were at the funeral, you know.
Mm-hmm. And we brought her to the funeral.
Yeah, well, that's right. And Kyle stayed with her.
Mm-hmm.
And but I don't think she knew what was happening.
It was still probably good for you to know that she was there.
Well, that's right.
So that you didn't feel like you
were holding. We didn't tell her as such because she couldn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
She was at a stage at that time, let's see, I can't remember when Greg died, 2011?
Yeah, I think it was 2011. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she died in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Approximately, I can't remember when he died, really. I'd have to look at it.
May 2011.
See, she died in
September 2012.
She died about a month prior to our 58th anniversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
58. Yeah. Think about it.
Yeah, and she. So we got married in July 2012, and you were able to come out
yeah,
and
that's
see
right.
us. And then I remember we had her funeral on my birthday. Do you remember that? It was
yeah,
September 11th
yeah, yeah.
that year. But I'm glad I got, and people were like, oh, I'm so sorry that the funeral's on your birthday. But you know what? We got to be together.
Hey, that's right.
I wasn't going
right.
to get to see you
that's
on my
right,
birthday.
That's
so
right.
that was a blessing.
Well, it was, yeah. it is, I was happy that I was able to fulfill my obligations
mm-hmm.
to the
you
end.
Did. Mm-hmm. You did.
And which, you know, a couple of my friends says, you know, you're doing too much or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I said, I got a contract for that.
Yeah.
I always refer that to a contract. it's part of the game.
Do you, when you think of Grandma, do you remember what she was like before she got sick?
Oh, yes.
So,
yeah, yeah. Well, I see her pictures, mm-hmm. you know, all the time. She was, you know, she always took care of herself.
Mm-hmm.
Very neat.
Mm-hmm.
Took care of the house, and the kids were always in order.
Mm-hmm.
You know. She took care of mine. I don't know whether you, your mother told you this, but when she got married, your mother, Gretchen, Betty decided she was, she didn't have a wedding dress anyway to pass on, but she decided she was going to build it for her. That
she
was
made both
her,
wedding dresses.
Part of her pride are the two girls.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, well, your mother had to come in about every month or so. And I'd get out of here because they'd get down there and they'd have it. They'd have that whole end of the room and patterns and whatever it was. And a sewing, and she had a good sewing machine. In fact, I gave that to your mother.
Mm-hmm.
She's
yeah.
got it. It's
she
a good
does.
One. So I can't remember the name of them, but it was one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
But she had it. I think it took her almost 3 months from the time it started to the time she finished the dress.
Yeah, she
and
did a great job.
She had to come in and fit her, you know, and Carla and Gretchen would say, this doesn't feel good, so we'd mm-hmm. change that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd get into what they wanted. And more so, your mother was more, excuse me, more complacent than Gretchen. Gretchen's mm-hmm. a pain in the butt. well, when it come to that, she would say, I want it this way, I want it that way. I got out of here. I just go upstairs. I didn't have such thing as a computer or anything back then, so I go upstairs.
Yeah. Well, Gretchen was older because my mom was only about 21 when she
yeah,
got married,
so.
And Gretchen was in her low 30s, so she had just more
yeah.
like opinions about
yeah.
things.
No, this is really nice.
Make it about the, all the Greek.
So, Bob, what do you think are some of your hopes for your grandkids
well,
and their future?
They've almost fulfilled them to a certain extent. The hopes were that they'd be educated
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they'd have a family or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, I would say it's about 75% done. Well, you haven't children yet.
Yeah, you don't have any great grandchildren.
Yeah, that's
yet.
Right. And Gretchen's people don't. But, you know, they've achieved what I think Betty and I both want to make sure they had a good education, and wherever they went, they could go any place they wanted to go. Well, your mother, I took her down to Columbia and get her registered. She wanted to go there. So we went down, and she wanted to go to math. Well, we had an interview with the math department,
mm-hmm.
One of the leaders or majors in the math department. And he kind of looked at her and said, "I don't think you can handle it." And Carla said, "I can handle it." That's all I can remember her saying. "I want to do that."
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this professor said, "Well, you know what you can and can't do." So
mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, if that's what you want, let's do it."
Mm-hmm.
So, and she did
And she did great. And now she teaches math.
Yeah.
She's a math professor herself.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, Gretchen, she decided that she was going to go to Columbia. Of course, Carla went there. And the big issue then was, for her, was the sorority down there. Where are they?
Zeta. Zeta Tau Alpha.
Yeah, well, that's what your mother was in. And Gretchen came down, and she was pushed by them, also by a friend of Gretchen's. There was a Tri-Delt from here. And they wanted her. So her loyalty to, I guess, her sister or whatever, she decided she would pay it off.
Mm-hmm.
And she decided, well, you know, if she likes it, I'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And, you know, she was, Carla would always say, or Gretchen would always say, well, you let Carla do this. You know, I'll do that. You know, it was kind of a middle child type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go.
Okay.
Anyway, that kind of made me feel good that, you know, she was loyal to her sister.
Yeah, absolutely. So this recording will be available for, you know, kids and grandkids and great-grandkids.
Well,
you
I
know,
hope I didn't tell them anything to lead them astray.
No. Do you have, thinking, you know, what if down, like, you know, 30 years into the future, your great-grandchildren are listening to this? Do you have any words of wisdom or advice for them?
No. Be citizens.
Be good citizens. Be good citizens.
And, you know, don't get in, don't do anything out of the ordinary or that is violation of your family. Violation of your body, such as drugs, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, drinking will happen to a certain extent, but be a social drinker. Don't
mm-hmm.
don't overdo it.
Right.
And you know, that was Greg's problem. You know, he hit the bottle a little too much, and I think that
mm-hmm.
brought his death on. Excuse
mm-hmm.
me, brought his death on a little faster than it should have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he just didn't take care of himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He didn't have the mentality. I mean, he was an educated person. He knew right from wrong and everything
mm-hmm.
else, and he could work, do anything he wanted to do. But he didn't apply himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that happened probably when he was in grade school. He got around with the wrong bunch of kids, and they were renegades.
Mm-hmm.
And they were always in trouble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how that goes. You'll have that. You'll experience that.
Oh, yeah. I see that.
You'll have a couple of kids.
Even now.
Hanging
yeah.
around and... You know, they aren't the type that you want to be associated with.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you hope the future generations will,
As long as they're living a good life, mm-hmm. you know, and they got a family, and, you know, they understand the good things of life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a certain degree of difference between the families. Like Gretchen's family is different. Situation than the Cooch family,
mm-hmm.
Mainly a lot because of the way of life.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little more freedom. Gretchen, you know, just kind of let it all hang out type thing. One of her daughters going to Oregon,
yeah.
which is the most liberal school in the world. I think.
Next
to maybe Wisconsin, but. You know, they're very liberal, and I think Missouri as such is a very conservative school. It used to be. I don't know what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you went to Xavier, and that's a very conservative, very dedicated, and
faith-based.
It's a religious
very,
school.
Well,
yeah.
It's a very regimented school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, they don't put up with a lot of
right.
junk. I don't think.
No.
We got out of there.
Yeah.
Well, but you know, you were still under the gun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The evil eye was watching you.
And you got to come for graduation, so you could see it
that's
firsthand.
Right.
Do you remember
right.
when we rode around in the
that's
golf
right.
cart and saw the campus. Yeah. Well, and then last but not least, it's Thanksgiving weekend, so in the spirit of Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for?
Well, being alive, I guess, more than anything. I'm thankful I was able to raise a family and complete it, although we're missing one, but they're all basically healthy yet, and we're alive and we're enjoying it, and we get a chance to enjoy it every Christmas holiday or Thanksgiving or something like that, get together.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really, how do I say that? You know, it doesn't mean anything to me anymore. Thanksgiving is just another day to me.
Right.
You know, it's not so important, although it's nice communications to enjoy turkey and all that kind of stuff. And Christmas is nice to do it, but it doesn't carry its importance, I guess I would say. That, it did.
Yeah.
Back when the kids were coming up and, you know, people and the grandkids were coming to Christmas. And, you know, we can always remember the one that she did out in Arizona. Gretchen had a Christmas tree. You remember this? Did you ever tell him?
You go ahead.
Anyway, she had a Christmas tree and she had, you know, candles.
Yeah.
On a Christmas tree.
Real candles?
Real candles.
Candy candles.
Oh, candy candles.
Candy candles. And she went around and tested them all.
I licked all the candy canes on the Christmas.
She went around and tasted all.
So when you have kids doing that kind of stuff,
that you wonder, why did she do that? What brought that on? And I don't think Carl ever come up with an answer.
Because kids do that, right? Yeah.
Kids are weird.
Well, thank you for letting us interview you.
Well, I hope I didn't give you a lot of junk. It didn't mean anything.
No, it was wonderful. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for welcoming
us
here for
Thanksgiving. Thank you for coming for Thanksgiving.
We're very fortunate to have you as our grandpa. And I'm so glad that Craig has had you in his life for almost, 7 years now. We married for 3 years, so several years before that. So thank you.
How old are your parents?
How old are my parents?
Yeah.
They're about 58 and 59.
Okay, well.
Yeah, they're almost 60.
Let's see, your mother just turned 60.
Mm-hmm. She just turned 60, yeah. Good. Well, thank you, Grandpa.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I hope it doesn't lead anybody astray.
Good last word.
Discipline is important.
Oh, I just pressed stop. Okay, we're going to take a picture together to commemorate this.